Global gedacht, der Podcast, der die Welt auf den Kopf stellt.
Sanbonani, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending where you are. Ika mausizwe kunene, umfana kama mvuma Zambia, nkuma na zagitu ya biya biya njengi mko. I'm here with my colleagues from across the globe. We are here to discuss a very sensitive issue. That's why my energy level have come down, because this is a key and critical issue that we need to discuss. In my audience, I've got my colleagues who will introduce themselves from Germany, from Palestine, and I've also have my South African colleague next to me. So we are going to talk about inequality, and from where I come from with the background that I carry as the chairperson of the Law and Human Rights in Gauteng, I know that in South Africa, inequality is as a result of the apartheid that we had in South Africa, which then resulted to us having inequalities in our society in terms of accessing employment, in terms of accessing healthcare, in terms of even positions that we play within our society. So, but without going deep into it, I'll just give it to my colleagues to introduce themselves so that we can dive into this topic. And also, colleagues, please mind the fact that we will not go so fast as possible as we can, because we must understand each other. That's why we are speaking about the topic of inequality, because we must give each other equal access to everything and anything that we talk about. So here we've got language barriers, we've got language barriers, and we've got to understand each other, and we've got to be patient with each other, because that's what we're trying to promote, especially at a club level. So I'll give it to my colleague Vale to introduce herself. Hi Vale, how are you?
Hello, good, thanks. Happy to be here with you. I am Valentina. I am from Chile, but I am living in Berlin since 2 years, and I am working in S27. It's a cultural organization that work also with migrants and people from around the world.
No, thank you so much, Vale. It's good to have you here. Hi, Julie, how are you?
Hi, Sizwe. I'm good, and you? Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Abdallah. I'm from Palestine. I live in Birzeit in Ramallah. I work with Palestinian Circus.
Thank you, Vale. It's good to have you here. Hi, Lisa, how are you?
Hi, Sizwe, how are you?
I'm okay. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Lisa Kanya Makandela. I work for the Ikhumela Foundation. It works with kids, but you shall learn more as we discuss.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's good to have you guys here. And I really appreciate the fact that we come from different countries and will be able to actually share our expertise. That's why I think it is very much important that we have this discussion, so that we send people to places where they've never been by just simply unpacking what is happening in our communities. So as a start, I will start with you, Lisa, as a host country, because we are in South Africa, so you must tell us. So I just want to find out from yourself, what do you think are the root causes of inequality in your society? Please take us home where you come from straight and tell us the inequality that you see there, and also explain to us what really caused that inequality that you see there.
Thank you so much. As you mentioned, you speak of apartheid, a very sensitive topic, and I think the most contributing factor of inequality. But we must not run away from the fact that even us as community members, people in our community, does inflict that. And what I mean by that, I mean that the reason why we have gender inequality so much so as gender-based violence is because of what society instills in us. Society instills power in a gender to another one, more than the other one. And that's then sends a message that we will never be equal. That's why we have others dying more than the other, because other feels superior than the other. And then you might trace it back that yes, it was apartheid that introduced your patriarchy, but still, there's no apartheid now. There are people who are benefiting, who benefited from the system, and because of them benefiting, they still then continue to impose such beliefs, continue to impose what patriarchy, and that is what caused inequality in our society. Specifically, I emphasize on the gender one, because it's the most sensitive, is the most that affects our country, the gender inequality, because we see the consequences of it. We see people dying, we see our kids, we see our women dying because of it, because of a system that was introduced to us.
No, thank you so much, Lisa. You've mentioned something which is very much key, especially the gender inequality. I mean, it's surprising to see that some people still believe that there's a certain gender that can occupy certain positions, that can make certain decisions, that can rule or actually lead our country into success. Julie, please take us to Palestine and tell us what are the causes of inequality in your community in Palestine.
Yeah, so inequality in Palestine, the main cause of the inequality in Palestine is the political situation. Unlike the other parts of the world, where the inequality stems from the economic system or the, for example, the economic system of the class divides. In Palestine, it's the structural control of the Israeli occupation, because we have checkpoints, we have some of the systems that do not allow Palestinians to live their lives as the settlers do. Yes. So it's mainly political.
Yeah, and also I've heard that in Palestine there's an apartheid war. I'm not sure if I'm calling it correct. Maybe if you can also just take us there as you are explaining as how does it contribute or exacerbate inequality?
Yeah, in Palestine we have, they call it separation wall, and we call it apartheid wall. It's in the middle of Palestine. It separates West Bank from Israel. It made many divides in the Palestinian society. So we Palestinians, we are not allowed to enter, to go to Israel and to see the sea, to go to our lands. We are not allowed to do such thing, because if we are, we have to go to checkpoints. We have to be checked. We have to have permission to go to Jaffa, we call it Jaffa, and our lands in Israel.
All right, no, thank you so much, Julie. And colleagues, I didn't make this disclaimer as we were starting. Please feel free to also speak in your language when you want to continue. We will make sure that at the end of this thing, we have people who will actually have subtitles for us so that you speak as comfortable as you can. Vali. Over to you now, dear. Please take us to Germany. What are the root causes of inequality in Germany? What caused inequality?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and we also have this gender gap about salaries. Even if we are in a wealthy country, it's incredible to see these gaps nowadays. And we also have a difference between salaries in the east and in the west side of Germany. But what I really see every day is the big inequality that is there because of the discrimination with the migrants. And this is something incredible nowadays, because Germany needs workers, needs specific knowledge in diverse areas, but it's very difficult for new people to start a life in Germany. For example, the language, you need a very good level if you want to work in a school as a teacher, even if they need teachers. I know people that are teachers from other countries, but they can't work there or need really a long time for receiving a validation, for example. Yes. They need time, or they need to study again. So everything is difficult. So receiving the permission for working, etc. So in the list of countries that are open and are welcoming new people, Germany is over the 50 in the in the world, even if they have a wealthy situation. But what I wanted very short to say, it's, I think, yeah, most of the country in Europe, and of course Germany also, produce inequality outside their country because of the exploitation of the territories in South America, for example, and also in Africa and other parts of the world. So inequality is something that we are also passive or in some cases more active producer in such countries like Germany.
All right, no, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, I've been following. We started with you, Lisa. You mentioned the apartheid regime, of which I still say as a South African as well, that was the worst thing that could ever happen to South Africans, because the time it lasted, even the years into democracy, we haven't even, according to me or to my own understanding, recovered everything that we could have recovered, because we've lost what makes us the spirit of Ubuntu in that process of regaining our freedom, because now we've got classes that are different living in one society, whereby even the share into economic is not equal. There are some just those, the elite ones, who take everything, who have everything, and then there are those who must work themselves to death. And that's our sad reality within the country. And also I've heard what you've mentioned about the wars that is happening, of which it's something we see on media, and we also pray that Palestine regains itself again, and it wins this thing. We are behind it 100%. You are also mentioning, Vale, about the exploitation that is happening on immigrants, and we know that people move on different reasons. Lisa, we've once had a conversation with yourself whereby you talk about, you were telling me, in fact, that when you Google Steve Biko, they would say that it's an anti-apartheid or the founder of the Black Conscious Movement, but when you Google Karl Marx, they will just say that he's a philosophy, whereas Steve Biko wrote book that were philosophically as well. So I just want you to go deep and tell me about the culture and the religion, because I think those are also contributing factors into our politics, even if you understand the foundation of our party politics, that were also backed by culture and religion at some point. So please tell us, how does culture and religion in South Africa contributes to inequality? Does it solve it or does it perpetuate it? Please just break it for us.
Ish, that's another one. But before that, let me just agree with you about the impact apartheid has in our country. And for some reason, I don't think we'll ever recover. We must give it to them. They were very smart.
You think so?
They were very smart. We will never recover. You may afford us any and every right in this world. Those people damaged us and our country. They damaged our land. They took everything for us. And you get to learn every day, maybe with engaging yourselves in conversations of people who literally experienced these things. Maybe people who were part of the Fees Must Fall campaigns that have happened. You realize that these people people damaged us. But let me engage. With culture and religion, my God, that's why women die, man. I mean, that's why women die.
what do you mean?
That's why you should know better. You should know better. But I'm not sure if I should answer them in a different way. But let me just speak.
Yeah.
Culture and religion are the four founders of inequality. They are the four founders of inequality because it is culture that infiltrates the idea that one is inferior more in
than the other.
Than
yes.
The other. One is superior than the other. That is culture, right?
Yes.
That have produced that you should pay money to get a woman. Maybe you should buy
is in the masculine.
When you buy something, that's property, that's a commodity, that is culture. And maybe it was not meant in a bad way, but how you practice it. Because now when you've paid lobola to me, I'm suddenly your slave, your family slave. Now I have to go work at your home. I have to give up my dreams because I am now a wife.
Yeah.
Our culture tends to limit a wife to someone who doesn't have anything. Her whole life is centered in a man and what you need, right? But more extensively, culture teaches us the fact that, no, as a man, as a head of the family, you are supposed to make sure that your power is felt, and that's why you think it's okay beating us up. That's culture. That's what culture has introduced to us. Even if you don't believe that, you are from a community. And I think it is community who molds us into these people. It's community who molds men into these people. Never mind the traumas that you men face, but it is community who continuously empower that we should live by culture, you should live by religion. And that is what religion is. Religion is about defeating, is about suppressing the other. It's about suppressing. I just think that it is about suppressing. And even before we get into politics, I think our main problem is culture and religion. Before we go outside, we talk about the principles that are introduced to us, principles that we are told they're supposed to guide us. How do you guide anyone who's feeling oppressed? How do you guide me? How do you tell me how to do things if you are suppressing me?
Yeah, that's deep. That's deep. I've mentioned that this is a very sensitive conversation. Vali, let me come to you now. Are you comfortable with telling us about culture in Germany, or a religion in Germany? How does it introduce? How does it contribute to inequality?
Yeah, I know. As I said. I think in Germany it's difficult to live the diversity in some places. Of course, there are also possibilities, but in some cases it's difficult because, for example, there are inequality situations for people with different culture or religion in the labor market, for example. Nice. So sometimes it's not saying, it's not, nobody is telling you sometimes direct. But of course, when you are applying for something, or you want to apply for a work or for a study, I think there are, there is some discrimination about this, and nowadays we have new, extreme right politicians that are very very hard with the idea of diversity, of inclusion and migration, and yeah, so. Of course, it's a big subject that that emphasizes the inequality in a place.
Yeah, no, correct. And you know, as you two are talking, I'm just thinking that maybe perhaps they are correct when they say like past is not a place of residence, rather a place of reference. That because culture doesn't make people, people make culture.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, holding on to what doesn't work is doesn't necessarily do us what's good. So I think at some point we need to readjust, take a step back and be like, is this working for us? Is this giving us what we want? Or how do we then improvise and do what we need to do to make sure that we create a more safer generation than what we come from, because we all trying so hard to make sure that where we come from does not define where we are going. So yeah, I think I do get you guys. So Julie, please tell us, in Palestine, the culture, the religion, how does it contribute to inequality?
So in Palestine we have, like, you know, three religions. We have Muslims, Christians and Jews. The majority are Muslims. We have Christians They are like 2% only. And we have Jews. You know, Jews are in the Israeli area only. In the Israeli occupation area only. Occupation area only. Yeah. And how does it relate to inequality? Yeah, you know, like it's like in Palestine, it's cultural. Like it's not really religious thing, but in our culture we have like that thing that Elisa said that women, their role and their thing is to have like this role, is to like leave her job and stay in, at home to take care of kids and that, etc. Yeah, so it's cultural, almost like not a religious thing.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I think in my final observation on this topic of culture and religion is that, and it's good that I'm sitting at home, even though it's sitting me alone, but I'm not a man.
I mean, we have different contexts.
Yes, I do.
Context.
Are you going to speak from the perspective of a benefactor now?
What do you mean? No, I will speak. I will speak because it's a sensitive matter. That I would say you see culture as a method of subject and object, whereby men usually are the subject and then women are the objects. But as I said, that culture doesn't make people. People make culture. So people still choose which way they want to live. And we are in...
People choose to live in a way that is benefiting for them. This is why, even though we make sure our voices are loud as possible to tell you that the culture of our forefathers has made us to be here, but the benefactors are not willing to let go of it.
But what do you mean?
The benefactors are not willing to let go. It's a modern world. Why are you still holding on to those things if you don't benefit from them?
Okay, let me put it like this. Not everything in culture is bad. That's why culture is progressive. You understand? It is progressive. I mean, from clothes, you don't even want us to go there. From clothes, our forefathers were wearing rubbish. You get what I mean? Now we are wearing clothes. You understand?
Okay.
So there are so many elements of culture that are progressive. You understand? And then, as I'm saying, I just think as a person, you choose which one you want to follow.
You choose the one that is beneficial for you.
Maybe perhaps that works for both of you.
Wow.
You choose what makes you free, what makes you human.
Maybe and what makes South African men human is...
Is what?
Without crossing boundaries of others.
Teach them.
Without imposing things on others.
Yes.
Like for cultural things, we do not, like, I do not like to say things about religions or anything, but in terms of cultural things, we have, like, as Lisa said, like, we have those, like, we can say, like, gender-based violence, because we have many, like, the cases in Palestine. I'm not gonna go deep with this. We have many things that are considered cultural.
Yeah, I understand. At least I don't want us to just jump on this one. But let me tell you something, Lisa. You know, and maybe perhaps this is something that we can also talk about, that the human rights, you know, I want us to speak about human rights and inequality. And why I'm saying this, it's because human rights, it's not something that is new. That's why I want to go back to the fact that people choose what they want to follow. We've got in the 539 BC, we've got the story where Cyrus, you know the Cyrus cylinder theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think they at some point they used to call him the father of human rights,
mm-hmm.
because he's the one who conquered the Greek at Babylon and freed the slave. And I'm talking about thousands and thousands of years ago. And then he gave them a right to religion and a right to actually association. You know, freedom of association back then was just not something that you would get, that I want to associate with this group, not this group. And then coming down to your freedom charter, to your universal declaration of human rights, to your human rights, to your constitution and whatnot. This thing has always been there in writing. You understand? And for it to be in writing, it means there are people who believe in that way. But now you'll find out that there's a majority that that is being favored by the system that is there at that time, that would then choose to say that,
exactly.
No, let me just oversee this one. But there's always been people. That's what I just wanted to highlight. That it's always been people who have actually found this thing interesting. So now I want us to talk about what are the possible, or what is it that is just one inequality according to yourself that you see, if I had powers, this is the first that I would change.
Gender inequality.
Mm-hmm. In what sense? Just tell me the end game, that when it's changed, this is how it's going to look like.
It's going to produce a very beautiful nation. A very beautiful nation, a peaceful one.
Yes.
Where you don't need to know much. You don't even need to fight to belong.
Yes.
Maybe let me say, I need now to know what my rights are and how far they can go.
Yes.
What organization can fight for me?
Yes.
Which law can fight for me?
Yes.
So that I can belong.
Yes.
I belong because I know, should anything happen to me, I have these weapons to fight.
Yes.
Let alone the fact that they don't really help. I don't think there's any law in this country that benefits a woman. But maybe we will talk about that the other day. But what in my, how many cases have this country solved?
How many cases? Yes. I may not have it in figures.
Maybe let's say how many famous cases have this country solved relating to gender-based violence, rape, and murder?
But not to get into deep, but not all of them are against women.
We've got
your sense of your case. How long has it been?
I'm talking about cases.
Yes.
Relating to gender-based violence, which is a pandemic, a matter of agency.
Tell me the famous one that are not solved.
How many cases do you know that are not solved? Okay, maybe. How many cases do you know relating to gender-based violence that are solved, that have been solved? How many days in a month do women march to magistrate court? To demand justice? And if you follow up, I'm not sure if you do because it doesn't affect you, but like if you do follow up, do they get solved? Does justice get served?
But I'm sorry to answer you with a question there. How many men do not march for justice and keep silence and do not get their justice? Because also, for me, I would say the law...
That is the problem.
Because if you look at the number of inmates...
That is the problem.
It's a large number of people.
That question, that response,
yeah,
is the problem in itself.
How so?
You can't do that. First, because more gender-based violences against women are reported more than men.
Yes.
Not to say I'm invalidating the fact that they do experience gender-based violence, but what I'm trying to enlighten you in is that women are literally in trouble. And your response to that,
yes,
cannot be the fact that how many men do not match.
Yes.
We are talking about people who cry for justice, who cry for help,
100%.
That do not get helped.
100%.
The people that do not cry for help, we will never know. And we will never know where to fix. Let me finish.
Yes, I'm letting you finish.
We will,
yes,
never know. We will never understand what pain, mm-hmm, they go through. I'm talking about people who actually shout for help,
yes,
and still don't get help. My question is still, how many cases have you seen? Famous cases. I'm not going to talk about cases which are in the rural areas, which I don't think anyone pays attention to.
Correct.
I'm talking about famous cases that you see in the news, you see on your social media. Famous cases that relate to gender-based violence that have been solved.
I don't know. I don't have the figures.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because there's actually close to none.
That have been solved.
Yes. There's actually close to none.
For real?
Maybe let's do it like this. We have a case. I think it's the very sensitive one in the moment. I'm not sure. I haven't been following a Tsotso case. Are you aware of the Tsotso case?
I'm aware of
It was only in the past 2 weeks when we actually heard that the principal has been suspended or expelled from the school.
Yes.
It took marches. It took so much.
Part of that march.
Yeah. It took so much effort of women writing to social media, women shouting for help for Ucwecwe to get justice. It went as far as people even accusing of Ucwecwe's mother of lying.
Yes.
Never mind that this concerned a 5-year-old child, which would experience that trauma for life.
Yes.
All people cared about was the fact that a woman as old as Ucwecwe's mom would come on a public platform and lie about a 5-year-old, which was close to being disabled permanently and was raped. And he believed was raped in a school.
Yes.
In as much as that case caught so many attention, our justice system did not care. Our justice system did not do anything. And I'm telling you about a famous case now, which I'm saying that if our community still looks like that, I'm looking for a community where when they say rape, you find out what happened. I'm not saying that there's no maybe evidence. I mean, like people who lie, but I'm just saying that it's a sensitive, and there are figures that show that it actually happens.
Yeah.
The figures, the majority of the figures show that it happens more than it doesn't. Wow. And that is why I think it needs attention. And that is why I think that tracing back to your question, that a society for me that is equal in gender would then try and match the sense of equality that men have. I think men feel more happy in such a society more than we do.
Yeah,
they experience inequalities. Do they even? But they experience stuff.
Yes,
but women go through hell to exist. We are crucified for the mere fact of existing. I don't have to say anything to anyone. I don't have to wear anything. I just, because I exist, I'm a problem.
They do. And I agree with yourself. And now looking at life from that perspective where you are coming from, I actually do get you. And I do agree with what you are saying. And also, I want to say the fact that for me personally, in achieving gender equality, it does not necessarily mean that we must then neglect the boy child.
Yes.
Get what I'm saying is that you can't solve a problem without dealing with the cause of the problem. And you've mentioned the culture, the religion, that which are social norms that are being instilled to a young child that then grows to be what they be as they grow up, you understand? So I think that's why at some point in civil society work, when there was so many programs speaking about women empowerments, girls empowerments and stuff like that, somebody would ask the question to say that if you don't you do not prevent what's going to be a problem in future, then you must wait to see that problem. So that person was basically saying that if you don't get the boy child in line and make the boy child and the girl child know how to live in harmony in a society, you are still creating a society whereby you defend, you empower the person who's going to be a victim, and you don't you do not empower the person who must stop being a perpetrator.
Yeah.
Because at some point it's thing like that. So I do get where you are going, because also I think that's also the cause of those cases where that are not being reported by men.
Yeah.
As well, because it's the societal norm to say that in the daikali,
yeah,
you don't have to show your weakness as a man and stuff like that, which then creates the anger, you whatsoever, which leads to drugs, which leads to gender-based violence, which leads to suicide, because the stats tells you that men die, kill themselves more than women. And that's fact, because
but
they keep it until no they suicide. In suicide, South Africa, you can go online. The stats it will tell you that it's more men than women who kill themselves in suicide. You know, so that's the stats you can.
But
get.
Some kill themselves in defense of what they do to women.
Yes,
they don't want to open.
Yes.
So it's not really the principle of Indo Daikali.
Yes.
It's running away from your sins.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'll never feel sorry for a man, by the way.
Why?
Thank you.
But you want an equal society?
Maybe.
Which equal are you? Which equality are
you?
I'll never feel
sorry for you guys.
Why?
No, you guys.
No, I think it's not like that. I think it's
yeah.
it's about because we women,
yeah.
for in Palestine, for example, yes. Women are allowed to express their feelings, to cry, to do anything, but men are raised to suppress their emotions.
Yes.
So they, it's inhuman. Yeah, don't look at me like this. So men suppress their anger, their emotions, and they commit suicide.
But are they supposed to beat women then?
They do not know how to deal. It's not. I'm not in that case. So hear me out. Hear me out. I'm not justifying what they are doing. I'm just saying. Not in the cases of doing something and then commit suicide. I'm saying that men are not raised to show their emotions, to deal with them.
Yes.
And this is a cultural...
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now link it to why they beat women up.
That's not a justification for them. No, I'm not justifying. I'm with women.
You were stating a stance, Lisa. And please work in your heat for men.
So I'm emotional in this conversation now.
But you don't allow Julie to finish. You didn't allow Julie to finish.
Vale, save us, please.
Yeah. No, I was thinking, I think suicide
yeah.
is one subject, and maybe I don't know. Women are it's another subject, but I was thinking in how many women are responsibility. I was thinking how many women have the responsibility in their families and carry with everything, and sometimes also don't have the possibility to suffer some, I don't know, depression, or even if you as woman sometimes have more possibilities to show some emotions,
yeah.
But sometimes really allowed you, I don't know, living a real pain, or I don't know, it's something, nothing about time for this. Or.
Yeah, sorry, Lisa, but I told you it's not just a justification for their what they did. It's not a justification, but it's scientifically proven that men do not know how to deal with their emotions.
Maybe that is also an inequality, by the way.
Yeah, there is inequality because they are raised to be strong, not to cry, not to express their emotions, and to be a man, you have to be a man.
Yeah, no, it is. But not to also deviate, I think it is due to the form of the society formation,
yes.
How the society is formed, and that's what we find. We are born into that society, and I think for a human in general, whether it's for me personally, I believe that it's easy to learn than to unlearn.
For you,
yeah.
But some men, like, they fear to get out of this, that, like we say, the frame that they were put. They were put in.
Yeah, that's
which is what he's saying.
They will be shamed.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that it's easy to learn than to unlearn. Because if I grew up believing this thing for almost my entire life, it's so hard for me to just wake up the next day and say I don't believe in this thing now. But I can not know what I know today, yesterday, and wake up and knowing what I know today by learning it. But to say that how we were raised, I must just flush that whole chapter out of my life. I think it's something that can be done, of course, through your campaigns, through whatsoever that supports you, but it's not
how about thing. How about actually thinking that if it was you living in such society where you are treated like how women are treated, how would you cope and how would you feel? Maybe if men were to ask themselves that question, they'd literally unlearn very fast.
Yeah.
Because you imagine yourself in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Where you, when I tell you, maybe you don't get it, right? You don't have to say, you just exist, you are in trouble. We women in South Africa don't get raped by strangers. They get raped by their fathers.
Relatives, yes. Boyfriends.
They are boyfriends.
Yeah.
So it's not even what I should stop doing. It's why am I even in this world, their world? Why am I here? So that concept, I do get it, but like, there's never a point where humankind will what is that concept? You unlearn.
Yes.
But imagine yourself in those shoes. I do think that if someone feels pain, they stop inflicting it on others. And the reason you haven't stopped is because few of you experience that pain. Yes.
Yeah, you are correct. You are correct. You know, you make me remember my lecturer, Uma Dlamini, once wrote a topic in the board and said women are better leaders than men. And then she said the men must support that topic and then women must defend it.
I'm sure you were not supporting, hey?
No, we did, but it was in fact a very eye-opening.
Yeah.
Because we had to go and dig deeper about what woman has done for our country.
Mm-hmm.
And now go against the woman and tell a woman that a woman is better than a man. And then them saying that a man is better than a woman.
Mm.
And either way, it was us saying that men are better. We would have quickly went for your Mandela, for your Krizani, for your what, and say they fought for our democracy. But now we had to realize what Boma Mawini had done for our South African democracy. We had to look into what women has done each and every day, raising a boy child while men were in exile and stuff like that. So we had to get another perspective to say that, no, in fact, they are doing the most. We need them in our society. We can exist in isolation.
Maybe we shouldn't even compare to say this one would lead better than the other. Because if we take that route again, you see, inequality is not about Like, it's not about that now that we want equality.
Yes.
Not to necessarily decrease the number of opportunities men get. Or maybe we don't want to be superior than men. We want we want equality.
Yes.
So approaching it in a way of comparing is a problem again.
She wasn't comparing. She was saying, look at life in a perspective of somebody else's shoes.
Okay.
It was necessary. It was not to say that this one is this one.
It would lead better.
It was saying, put yourself in somebody else's shoes, because that was the takeaway at the end of the day. Because I had never prior to that put myself in the shoes of a woman.
Do you now?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Really?
That's why I'm seated here giving you the utmost respect I could ever give to anybody.
You were never going to disrespect us in a public platform.
No.
Yeah, Lisa. So
it's not like I was, listen.
But you were never. Would you disrespect a woman in a public platform? Would
Lisa,
you?
Well, if I could do it in private, what would stop me in a public platform?
Are you that bad?
Eh?
You are that bad.
No, if I'm saying, if I would do it in a private, why would I stop in a public? I would do whatever in a public that I do in private. I respect in private, I respect in public. Vali?
No, I wanted to say, I don't know if you really can be in the shoes of a woman, because it's so difficult to understand, because they are so invisible situations that women are living around the world, but also institutional. So, okay, about the institutional, we can easily speak because we all know. And even it's incredible that we are in such a man world that it's impossible to think in another kind of world, you know, because all rules are doing by all the furnitures, the things about the body scales,
yes.
The medicine, the everything. So it's like the start and the start of many things. And so I think it's in if you I understand the intention, but I think it's difficult. It's I don't know, impossible in a way. Sometimes they are some exercises, but this there are little situations. It's like, okay, imagine you are I can see some situation of inequality from other lands, but I am not South African, for example. I can imagine, but it's difficult to really put in their feet, you know, because yes. there are stories and they are, it's too much for really,
You can empathize with
them. Yeah, yes, I was looking for that word.
What?
You can empathize with
us. Empathize.
You can't live.
Yeah.
It's how one would say it's biologically impossible.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can only just empathize and
siyazwelana bakithi. Siyazwaza sazwelana nomzantsi Afrika.
Yeah, I know, it's good. No, I think we've dived into it and we've also along the way chosen to have specific field where we think we focus on.
Yeah.
So I would want from all of you now to just give me your closing remarks.
We have a lot of work to do. Not that I am what I'm about to say. I am saying old people who are not classified as the youth would never assist us. But where I'm going with this is that every time South Africa is in trouble, the youth stands up. That has happened more than two times, more than three times.
Yes.
So I think, again, this is a call to the youth of this country to find where can we fix. Is it our constitution which is the problem? Is it our institutions? Is it the people who represent us? Is it us? Is it culture? Is it, what is it that can be fixed? And it needs to be fixed. I just think that my closing remarks would be, we have a lot of work to do.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And yes, indeed, we are.
Julie.
Queen
Zuli. Yeah, so for me, I forgot that I didn't mention the water thing in Palestine.
Yes.
Yeah, so I see inequality in Palestine as like it comes as in water thing. Like Palestinians do not get water due to the Israeli restrictions because they shortage the water from the Palestinians and they give it to the settlers. So the Palestinian person get like the quarter thing, like it's the quarter portion of water as the settler, as the Israeli settler.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and
so
I
bad.
Remember this now. So
meaning there's still a lot that needs to be done on a global scale.
We have like many shapes of inequality, for like gender inequality, political inequality, and so on.
With the idea of the environment, the resources, and how the inequality is the control of some groups, and it's the luxury for some people, and here in South Africa, I remember a lot of South America because the distribution is similar, and you see this inequality. Maybe more clear, but I want only to say, as I already mentioned, in Germany, of course, you see a lot of discrimination, inequality, and groups that control as you say, the resources worldwide and the exploitation. It's a big issue in the inequality, and I think exploitation is, of course, also in the gender area, the exploitation also in the bodies of the diversity, women and diversity.
Yeah, inequality is a so wide term.
Yeah.
So we have to like divide it to learn it or understand it better.
No, thank you so much, Vale. Thank you so much, Chili. Thank you so much, Lisa. Just taking from what you guys have said, I've seen that we are facing political inequalities, we are facing economic inequalities, we are facing cultural, we are facing religion, we are facing gender inequalities, and also I would add, we are also even facing law inequalities. I think Lisa had touched on that one. I mean, here in South Africa, we've got a constitution that was last amended in 1996. And our constitution allows the people who are ex-convicts to sit in parliament due to the fact that they were freedom fighters. But I also believe that it's something that needs to be changed, especially going forward. Because if it allows a freedom fighter, then it can possibly allow Sizwe, who did the heist, to go and be a member of parliament, and that person have committed crime stealing money from the state, and you also want to make that person the head of state and hand the money. So it's something that we need to revisit and change as well. And also, I think we will continue to shout. Because also we've got policies. I mean, we've got an NHI, which was signed about by our president going to elections. And I think it was an election manifesto. Because afterwards, you can't go to pharmacy for free. But you've got your national insurance. So we all got these documents, your Bella Bill, that is supposed to bring us back the land that was stolen. But nobody has received any land back. So we've got all these beautiful policies, Black BEE, that if you check in some municipalities, it's been one beneficiaries all over again. From 2010, certain tenders are given to certain people until today. So we've got beautiful policies, but
implementation.
So thank you so much. This was a conversation between our colleagues from Germany, from Palestine, and from South Africa. We thank you so much. We love you so much.
Thank you, Sizwe.
Thank you, Sizwe.